Susan, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, church. If you could find your way to a seat, Pastor. We are glad you are here. All right. I'm going to start with a few announcements, get those out of the way. The discipleship class led by Pastor Kenny is going on after the service, not directly after, but a few minutes after. Prayer meeting Tuesday night led by Jamie from 7 to 8. Thursday night, the Romans Bible study led by Evan Reed, I think, and his dad, right?
Yeah.
More, okay. More his dad than him. All right. And then next Sunday is a deadline for getting your choices for the conference, the 360 conference. If you're going, you have to pick out the sessions that you want to attend and let Tracy know. Is that correct? All right. And then March 18th, that's March 18th is not a Sunday. It's a Saturday. It's wrong in this. Okay. It is a Saturday, March 18th, and that's the day of the 360 conference from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. So check with Tracy. There may be some carpooling that takes place from here.
Good morning. Would you stand and join us reciting the Scout Oath and Scout Law? This is our Cub Scout sign. It looks like two wolf ears at attention, ready to listen. Two fingers, one reminding us of the Scout Oath and the other the Scout Laws. Drake, please lead the Scout best to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout Law, to help people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Zach, please lead Scout Law.
A scout is
trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Thank you, Bennett. So, you can be seated now, please. BSA, or we used to call it Boy Scouts of America, was founded in 1910, February 8th, 1910. So February is kind of our celebration month for the Boy Scouts of America, BSA, now we call it. So 113 years ago. I've been asked to talk about stewardship at this time in the service, and we think about stewardship as taking care of something, not necessarily something that belongs to us. So when you think about it, the stuff we're asked to take care of is probably going to outlast us, right? So part of our stewardship is training up the next set of stewards. These boys on my right, they're fifth graders in our Cub Scout pack right here in Grass Lake, Michigan. Our charter organization is this church, Family Worship Center. These guys are crossing over to the BSA ranks. So the Cub Scouts are grade school, kindergarten through fifth grade. BSA numbers, this just came to me, somewhere on the order of 50,000 scouts in the state of Michigan. We have over 40 of them right here in Grass Lake. In our Cub Scout pack. We don't have a BSA troop, but we have over 40 Cub Scouts in our BSA pack. So that's one of the, I'll call it a ministry of this church and outreach into the community. So we train up these scouts, and you heard the Scout Law, things like trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, you know, all stewardship of relationships. We even talk about being thrifty, taking care of our resources. So that's what Scouts is about, and I just wanted to celebrate these boys are crossing over again to the BSA ranks, so they're not with our Cubs any longer as of Tuesday. We're missing a couple today. Jacob and his mom, Miss Liz, were not able to be here today because of the power outage. They left town. And Joey Kempker and his mom, Miss Tina. Miss Tina led this group of boys, and we're praying for Miss Tina. Miss Tina Kempker is on the prayer list because she's been stricken with a cancer, and so she's under some treatments right now. So, with that, I think we're going to take up our offering, and I'm going to let my Nathan, who has crossed over a couple years ago to the BSA ranks, we're going to let him pray.
All right. So, dear Jesus, thank you for everything you have given us, and I pray that with the offering we have today, we can give to the less fortunate and help them get back on their feet. I thank you for all the help you have given through many people who have gone through chemo and have made it, and I pray that you just help Miss Tina with it today and months from now. And I think, and in your name we pray, amen.
You'd open your Bibles up to, is that working? Yeah. Yes. Yes, the kids are dismissed. I meant to do that. Sorry. Thank you. Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Where's that button at? I'm not. Ephesians 2. We have looked at Paul's prayer for the saints, that we would be enlightened by the Spirit to know all that God has for us in our calling, the treasures of our inheritance, which is ours in heaven, and the immeasurable power towards us who believe. The very power that raised Christ is now ours through the Spirit whom we have in Christ. Starting at verse 1 of chapter 2. And you, and this is referring to the Gentiles, were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Again, that you is the Gentiles. In which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. If, as we go along in Ephesians, he refers to the prince of the power of the air, the enemy, Satan, the evil one, the devil is how he refers to him. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. He's out to get us. So, Paul, at work and now in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all, now it's Jews and Gentiles, right? Amongst whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us, again, that's all of us, Jews and Gentiles alike, alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jamie read it earlier about proclaiming, right? From 1 Peter, we're to proclaim the excellencies of God. When Adam sinned, sin entered into the world. Okay? Sin brought death. Romans 5:12 tells us that. You and I and everyone else Saint and sinner are going to die a physical death. No way around it. Unless Christ comes back. Barring that. Which is more than possible with what's going on in the world. But those who are born again of the Spirit and are following Christ will only die that one time. That physical death. They will not experience the second death of eternal damnation. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Martin Luther said that. It was written in the scribbling on the sides of one of his Bibles. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You were born into this world once. Then, if you're born again, that would make twice, right? So we all understand where we're at. Adam's sin brought both death and sin into this world. Believers, because of God's great love and mercy, will only die once. The physical death. Those who choose not to believe will die twice. In Romans 20, which I have marked, if I can get a hold of my tabs. In Romans 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Baptism, resurrection, right? Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Eternity, forever. In 14 and 15, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is eternity for them. It's eternity for them. Just as like we're going to spend eternity with Christ, they're going to spend eternity with the evil one. That's who they followed. That's where they're going to end up. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3, this is part of your further reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith, as our faith is active, we're being guarded through faith, pardon me, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he comes back. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That is for us who believe. That is for the church. Because of Adam. And I had this conversation with staff earlier this week. Because of Adam, we are deprived of our relationship with God. We have no access to him because of the fall. Our relationship with God is non-existent. We, mankind, in this lost state, sin. We choose to sin. And we receive the just wages for our sin. Separation from God, spiritual death, the wages of sin being death. We were at one time, all of us, dead in our sin. But having been born again, we will only die that physical death. Jesus paid the price for our sins on that bloody old cross. He became sin on our behalf, the propitiation. He was the answer to the sin that we had committed. Jesus is who we look for and who we show our gratitude toward for what he accomplished. But the world refuses this gift of love and mercy. They refuse a life with Christ at its center. Because that's what we're called to do, is put Christ at the center. We're to be worshiping him. That's what we talked about. We're to be worshiping him in everything that we do. We're trying to bring glory to God. There are people who have no purpose. They have wandered away from, or wandered from one thing to another, searching and yet lost. You see, the world has lost sight, especially if we look around us, the world has lost sight of the accepted moral guidelines that once guided us as a country. They're gone. Today, those of the world live in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and they will suffer the wrath of God. Unless they turn from their wicked ways, they will remain dead in their sin. We live in a time and a place of immorality. Foul language is the norm, with sexually explicit programs available to watch anytime you turn on the TV or open your computer. Entertainment is worshipped and is expected even in a worship service, even in the church. Joblessness, riots, murder are commonplace. This is when a time when being offended has become a way of life. Political division, victimhood, and so much more. And we accept it because it's what's common. It's what's every day. But there was a time in our nation when I was in high school. I know we're talking ancient history. I remember there being rifles in the back end of pickup trucks sitting in the window, and two of those guys having fist fights. There was no thought of going for the gun. Life was more sacred then than it is now. But this is also a time of untold wealth and prosperity, where the desires and the passions of the flesh are easily satisfied. There's not a balance there. The immorality seems to weigh out the rest of it. The world is corrupt, immoral, wicked, and depraved. But God made a way out of this for anyone who was willing to turn from that. He made it through the cross, where Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Then, after the resurrection, Jesus sent his Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, however you want to put it, into the world. When we as human beings cease to resist the Spirit and our eyes are open to God's love and mercy, saving faith is produced in us, in our hearts. This is the grace of God, the work of the Spirit, who is convicting the world of sin, as we're told in John 16:8. But the Spirit will not overwhelm or override your free will, our free will. We have to make a choice. He can convict us. We can harden our hearts against that. And a lot of the world has become so hardened that they can't even understand what's happening to them. Each and every believing saint came to know the love of God that is seen in the cross of Christ. We came to know it. We were convicted. We were shown to us. We heard about it. Somebody told us. Somebody prayed for us. We were at all one time dead in our sin, not sin sick. Understand that. Dead. Having no hope until somebody told us. Spiritually dead, separated from God by our sins, and headed for eternal destruction in the fires of hell. A place of utter darkness where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's Mark 9:48. The New Living Translation puts it this way, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. Constant. A place without hope. Follow the course of this world. Follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient, and you will end up where he is, where he's going. The place created for the devil and his angels, as we're told in Matthew 25. The lake of fire, the place of everlasting torment, where you only hear the gnashing of teeth on the wailing of those suffering in eternal anguish as they continue to experience the eternal destruction of the second death. But this is not for the believing. Hell is not a place that believing saints will ever experience. We need to give God glory for that. We are children of the King, blessed with strength to overcome, empowered to live for Him and not for ourselves. Because those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Him who lives within me. By grace you have been saved through faith. And you did nothing to deserve it. We already went over that. Salvation is a gift of God for all who choose to believe. And as verse 7 reminds us, the immeasurable riches of His grace are ours in Christ. His strength, power, revelation, and grace, the undeserved divine assistance of God for the believer. We are empowered and enabled to live the life that we are called to live as saints of the living God, as His children. We are blessed abundantly. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For to sit, soak, and sour? Are we here to hold down the chairs so they don't go anywhere? Are we here to just take it all in and nothing come out? To know of God and His mercy and grace and His strength? No. You are a new creation, blood bought. New life receiving, Bible believing, God enabled, Holy Spirit empowered Christians. Are we going to be Christians? Are we going to rise up and be what we're called to be? Or are we going to hunker down and, as I said earlier, sit, soak, and sour? You are the very workmanship of the living God. You are the very workmanship of the living God as a born-again creation in Christ. You as a child of the living God, justified, sanctified, and consecrated unto the Lord, were created in Christ Jesus for good works, Plain and simple. It's right there. To proclaim the excellencies of Him as we read in 1 Peter. You have a purpose. You were created. You are His workmanship. You as an individual have a purpose. Us as the church, as a congregation, have a purpose. Us as the church, capital C, have a purpose. Together, something that we are to accomplish, as also as individuals. These good works were prepared beforehand for you, for us together, that we should walk in them, right? To live them out, to live in them. That's what it means, to walk in them. What is it that we are supposed to do? What are the good works you and I were created to do? Did you stop and think about that? I mean, it's right there and when you read it. And then do you ever stop and think, okay, what is it that what's the good works that I am to be doing? And what is the good works that we are to be doing? All you have to do is open your eyes. I'm going to quote Cole Sear. You ever hear Cole Sear? The Sixth Sense. I see dead people. I see dead people. The living dead work with us, rub shoulders with us in Myers and Walmart. Franks, at the bank, you pass them every day on the road. They're part of our families. They're in our communities. And we are to reach out to them. Share with them. Be kind to them. And guide them back to life. We are to go and make disciples. If you don't understand, and we all need to, that there is something worse than death. Because we read about it, and I just gave you a lot of verses, and there's a lot more in there that concern hell. The eternal damnation awaits those who are the living dead. We are called to lead them to life. To lead the dead to life. Are we willing to be uncomfortable in doing so? Are we willing to be uncomfortable in our witness as Christians, as believers? Are we willing to just talk about what we have experienced in Christ, what we have in Christ, to share it? Are we willing to let them see what it means to be a Christian? Or are we so much like the world that they can't see the difference? How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, how many of you know someone that is unsaved, that is lost, that is hellbound, dead in their sin? I want you to take and think about that person right now, or people, persons. I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray for their salvation. I want you to pray against the enemy who has entrapped them and is holding them. I want you to pray against the things of this world that are causing all that we see around us taking place. We're seeing a lot of good stuff take place. Revival is breaking out worldwide now. That's awesome. But it starts with prayer. It starts with repentance. Are we willing to turn from those attitudes? Are we willing to turn from actions that we may be doing? Are we willing to turn from the way we speak? And live the life Jesus Christ would have for us? Because I truly believe in and of myself, I know that He is far better for me than I ever could have for myself. Are we willing to stop and pray? Right now, this morning, for for those people we know that don't know Jesus Christ. Paul prayed for us. We need to pray for them. So I'm inviting you, as the praise team comes up, to come to the front of the church. You don't have to get down at the altars, but you can. Humble yourselves and pray for these people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we give you thanks for the gift of salvation and eternal life. We thank you, Lord, that we can be and that we are born again. That we won't die the second death, Lord. We praise you for that. But Lord, we remember and we think of those this morning who do not know you, who are dead in their sin as we once were, when we walked after the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that's now working in the disobedient, the unknowing and the unloving. Help us, Lord, to be a witness. Give us the words at the right time. And Lord, we lift those we love and we know in prayer to you this morning for their salvation, for you to work in their lives, for you to open the ears and the eyes, spiritual ears and eyes, Lord, so that they can know of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we have no words to give you for the gratefulness that we feel. For you are God, you are our Savior, you are our Creator. And Lord, you have created us not only once, but twice, because we are new creations in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we were created anew for good works, Lord. Open our eyes to those works. Help us to live in them, Lord, to walk in them on a daily basis. Lord, we need you desperately. Fill us with your Spirit. Guide us and strengthen us.